Clock.
Good morning, and welcome to Trinity Lutheran Church in Alamosa. We're glad you tuned in today. Trinity Lutheran is located at 52 El Rio Drive in Alamosa, Colorado. Pastor Jason Cody and the congregation at Trinity Lutheran welcome you to join them every Sunday, in person or right here on KSPK. And now, let's take you live to this morning's worship service with Pastor Jason Cody.
Blessings to everyone. Great to have all of us together, gathered around Christ and His Word and His gifts. Thanks so much for being here. This is the first Sunday in the season of Lent. And an interesting topic that the Scriptures bring to us today, and that is the topic of how the devil twists the Scripture. His kind of lying tongue and these kinds of things. We're going to look at that this morning while we're together, and let the Lord lead us through His Word on how to recognize that reality, not just in the Scripture, but also in our everyday lives. So we're glad that you came. It's a blessing to be here. We greet those who are joining us on the radio right now. Thanks for listening in that way. Glad that you could join us. And we're just glad to be together in Christ today and be covered by His grace and His forgiveness. So thanks for joining us. Our service begins this morning with our opening hymn. That's hymn number 424 in the hymnal in front of you. O Christ, You Walk the Road. Let's sing together. Oh, and please stand on the last verse of that hymn, on the last verse.
Thank you.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Our help is in the name of the Lord. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? Since we are gathered to hear God's word, call upon him in prayer and praise and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar. Let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Almighty God, have mercy upon us. Forgive us our sins and lead us to everlasting life. Amen. Almighty God, merciful Father, in holy baptism you declared us to be your children and gathered us into your one holy church in which you daily and richly forgive us our sins and grant us new life through your Spirit. Be in our midst. Enliven our faith and graciously receive our prayer and praise through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Amen. We continue now with our introit from Hebrews chapter 12. O come, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. We sing the Kyrie together. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O Lord God, you led your ancient people through the wilderness and brought them to the promised land. Guide the people of your church that following our Savior, we may walk through the wilderness of this world toward the glory of the world to come. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Amen. Please be seated. Our Old Testament reading for this, the first Sunday of Lent, comes from the book of Genesis in the third chapter. I encourage you, as we read through this, we'll be talking about it during the sermon as well, to pay close attention to, and this feels kind of weird, but pay close attention to the words of the devil and what he's up to in this text. It's an interesting take, for sure. We begin in the first verse of Genesis chapter 3. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God actually say you shall not eat of any tree in the garden?" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die." But the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. And they heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, but I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." He said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat? The man said, The woman who you gave to be with me, she gave me fruit of the tree, and I ate. Then the Lord said to the woman, What is this that you have done? The woman said, The serpent deceived me, and I ate. The Lord God said to the serpent, Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and above all beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. To the woman he said, I will surely multiply your pain in childbearing. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. And to Adam he said, Because you have listened to the voice of your wife, and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return. The man called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. And the Lord God made for Adam and his wife garments of skin and clothed them. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We invite the children up now for our children's sermon. Hi guys, how are you doing today? Good? Yeah, great to see you. I've got a question for you guys. Were any of you able to listen to the Old Testament reading that I just read? Okay, good. Oh good, you talked about it in Sunday school too, excellent. So tell me, what did Adam and Eve do when they realized they'd messed up and broke God's rules? They ran and hid from God. Yeah. Yeah. Do you guys think people still hide from God today?
No. Sometimes.
Sometimes? What do you think, Marley? You think people still hide from God today? Yeah? You guys think so? What ways would somebody hide from God? Because it's not like the game, hide and go seek, right? Oh, they don't believe in him? That's a way of hiding, yeah. What else might they do? They might what? They might lie? Okay, yeah, that could be a way of hiding from God too. Yeah, what's another way? Okay, well, how about this way? Have you ever noticed that sometimes people get so busy with all this stuff and it's like they can't really think about anything except all the stuff they're worried about? Have you ever seen that? They get so busy with all that stuff that they're too busy for who?
God.
For God, yeah. They're too busy. You know, my grandpa, when I was about your guys' age, I played Monopoly with him? I don't remember that. Maybe I did. Maybe I did play Monopoly. Anyways, he used to give me some really good advice about this. He would say, how many hours are in a week? Not how many days, there's 7 days in a week, and there's 24 hours in a day, right? Yeah, there's a whole bunch of hours in a week, right? It'd be 7 times 24. Anybody a math major out there?
I've been here, I got close enough.
168, we'll go with that, I'm not sure. Yeah, no, that sounds good. It's close. 160-something. You'd think I would have done the math, huh? Yeah, but I didn't. 160-some hours in a week, and my grandpa would tell me, God gives you 160-some hours every single week. Actually, when he told me this, he couldn't remember how many hours there were in a week either. I remember that. God gives you 160 some hours a week, and he only asks you for
168 hours.
168? Perfect timing. 168? Okay. God gives you 168 hours a week, and he only, listen, and he only, to play video games? You can't play video games that long. 168 hours a week, I'm going to get this out, and he only asks you for one. Did you ever think about it that way? What's he talking about?
Sunday
morning, yeah, to come to church. 168 hours in a week, and he only asks you to come for one. Okay? Now, we know that the Lord actually asks our whole life of us, but my grandpa's point was still a good one for me, and I think it's a good one for all of us, too, right? He's not asking a lot there, is he? No, he's not. And so hiding from God, like Adam and Eve did, is not a good thing, right? We always want to be open to God and his word. And thankfully, one of the cool things about our school, here at Trinity, we have a school. And at our school, we're hearing God's word and giving God time all week long in the word, which is such a blessing. And we can do that even at home, too, with our Bibles and talking with our families. Would you guys bow your heads and fold your hands and close your eyes and we'll say a prayer. Are you ready? Repeat after me, kids. Lord Jesus, we thank you for all your blessings, for all the hours in the week. Help us to make time for you and to not hide, but to know that you love us, that you forgive us, and that you're always with us. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, you guys can sit down. Our next reading for today comes from the 32nd Psalm, verses 1 through 7. Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. For when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer. I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not cover my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Therefore, let everyone who is godly offer prayer to you at a time when you may be found. Surely in the rush of great waters, they shall not reach him. You are a hiding place for me. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with shouts of deliverance. This is the word of the Lord. We continue now with our epistle lesson from the 5th chapter of Romans. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. For sin indeed was in the world before the law was given. But sin is not counted where there is no law. Yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sinning was not like the transgression of Adam, who was a type of the one who was to come. But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift of by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. And the free gift is not like the result of that one man's sin. For the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation, but the free gift following many trespasses brought justification. If because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. For as by the one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience, the many will be made righteous. This is the word of the Lord. We invite the congregation to please stand if you're able as we sing the doxology together. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 4th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "Again, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Begone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and were ministering to him. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Would you join us in confessing our faith together to the words of the Nicene Creed? I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Our hymn of the day for this, the first Sunday of Lent, is hymn 657, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God." Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. I think most of you know this about me, but if you don't, I play the instrument called the guitar. And I like to play it. It's fun. I play it in chapel with the kids during the week and occasionally at home. But I, even though I've been playing guitar for, holy smokes, 30 some years, I'm always amazed at expert guitarists, which I am not. Some might describe me as a hack 30 some years later. Hey, it is what it is, you know, I have fun. But I'm amazed at the experts. And one of the ways you can tell if somebody's an expert on the guitar is you watch them tune their instrument. Because a hack, like me, has a little thing called a tuner that clips on the head of the guitar, and it's pretty cool tech. It can sense the vibrations in the wood when you pluck a string and tell you what note you're playing and whether or not that note is in tune.
Wait, as a guitar player, sorry to interrupt, but as a guitar player myself, doesn't it just like listen to the tune through the sound it makes?
There's two types. One listens and one senses vibration. The one I have senses vibration. It's cool, yeah. Because if there's other people on stage playing and making noise, you can still tune with that one. And the other sounds don't interrupt it. But it's pretty awesome, you know? But an expert guitarist doesn't need one of those. They've gotten to know their instrument so well, that they can just hear when the notes are in tune, and they can adjust the head on the guitar, the keys, until the thing is perfectly tuned. And they do it all by ear. They can just hear it. Today, I want to walk you through our readings and see how this same basic concept applies to the scripture. Because just like a string plucked on a guitar, the words of Holy Scripture have their own ring to them. I hope today that we can learn a little bit more, each one of us, about what's in tune, even in what we read in the scripture, what's sharp and what's flat and what's in tune. Because in order to really do this, we'll have to, like a musician, spend ample time in God's word, getting to know it and listening to it and hearing it. Now, just to be clear, the Bible is not our instrument. That's a big point. If anything, you and I are its instruments, and it's tuning us. That's the truth. Kind of like the old poem, if you remember it, "The Touch of the Master's Hand," if you're familiar, says it so eloquently. That said, we do still often, even this morning, give our ear to the scriptures, to listen and hear what they're saying. And simply put, some of the voices in the scriptures are in tune, and some of the voices in the scriptures are just not at all in tune. Some are perfect, like the words of our Lord, the words of his apostles, the words of his prophets, God's word, of course, himself in the Old Testament. But other words that ring out, even from the pages in the Bible, are not so clean sounding. They're true, they're accurate, perfect in that sense, but they're not in tune. An example of this is when Jesus tells Peter that he's going to have to go and die. And Peter responds to Jesus by saying, "Not so, Lord. That will never happen to you." And Jesus rebukes him and says, "Get behind me, Satan." You see, Peter's out of tune there, right? Absolutely. Jesus has perfect pitch in that sense. He was flawlessly tuned in to the Father and his will and his word. But we are often easily deceived and find ourselves dancing to this kind of off pitch, weird music in the world. The music and tune and melody of sin. To show you even more what I mean, let's dig in for a few minutes to the words of Satan in the Bible, where he speaks to Eve in chapter 3, verse 1, and tells her sort of the exact opposite of what God had already told Adam and Eve earlier. Satan's words in the Bible here, they're out of tune because his words seek to deceive, to divide, to introduce doubt and disobedience. Here's the verse again. The serpent said to the woman, "Did God actually say you shall not eat of any tree of the garden?" Now listen to that sound. The sound of that word of Satan right there. Can you hear how it's a little off? Absolutely. He's not in tune. And with Satan, he's either sharp or he's flat, always. Jesus calls him a deceiver. He was a liar, Jesus says in the Gospel of John, from the beginning. And what tool is Satan using here with Eve? Well, he's causing her to question God's word, right? He's suggesting by his pointed question that God's word isn't trustworthy. He's questioning God's word, or in the original language, God's logos. That's the word we translate to word. Logos is where we get our word logic. So Satan, with his pointed question, questions the logic of God and his commands. And he tries to get Eve to doubt it in her own logic. Big mistake. I mean, I don't know what would ever give the created the right to legitimately ever question their creator, but it goes on all the time. Important point here. Up to these first words of the serpent's voice, Adam and Eve were both created, holy good. God made Adam and Eve. Did he create sin or evil? No. After creation, God looked and saw that it was good. Chapter 1, verse 31. Adam and Eve were not only good, they only knew good. They had the law, undoubtedly, there. Do not eat of this tree, but the law is not evil, the law is good. All Adam and Eve knew was good. It was the tree that they were commanded not to eat of, that precisely held the knowledge, according to its title, of good and evil. Adam and Eve did not have this capacity for disobedience to God. It wasn't in them. Or to do evil until they were deceived by this nasty song of Satan. All creation was in tune before that happened, with God and one another, and no doubt it was heavenly. Our question this morning, can we hear what it sounds like when something's out of tune? What sound does Satan's lies have that sounds different than the truth? Satan's question to God's word. And so it becomes true from that day forth and forevermore that any voice or sound that questions God's word is either sharp or flat. It's not in tune. Listen to Satan's next words in Genesis. Did God actually say, "You shall not eat of any tree of the garden"? See how he spins it? He tries to spin the command, draw it into question, and so much so that Eve is kind of forced to reiterate what God actually told them. And she's not easily fooled right here. In fact, she says something in tune as a response. What God told them about eating and not eating of the trees of the garden. Then comes the flattest note that's ever been played. Satan boldly calls God a liar. And he says, "You will not surely die." He's not just here questioning God's word, but he's also questioning the intention of God and the motivation of God. And he's bringing it all into question. He gives Eve the command not to eat of the tree, saying, God knows that if you eat of it, this is how the devil twists it, you'll be like him. See, now everything's in question. It's a sharp wit that Satan has, but no fear of God. No wisdom, as the Proverbs call it. Just notice the theme in these texts. Obeying God equals in tune. Questioning and disobeying God and his word is sharp or flat. It equals sharp or flat. And we can learn to hear these sounds that are off pitch. Even in life, in the words and statements of others, listen for it. Listen for those things that question or draw into question God's word. All that so-called wisdom that flies around, we can hear it. The more and more time we spend with the word, the more we'll learn to hear these off notes ourselves. And this is why pastors saying after a church often on Sundays, come to Bible study, you know. Come in and hang out with us. It's fun and we're in God's word. And we usually start between 8:30 and 8:45. It's pretty friendly, actually, the start time. But spending time in the Word like that, and if you can't come in, we understand, but, you know, spending time in the Word at home and finding ways, if it's your podcast that you're listening to as you drive down the road, whatever it is, spending time in God's Word, we continue to learn how to hear what's garbage and what isn't. See, check this out, though. It's kind of a cool Sunday in the lectionary because then Satan shows up somewhere else, doesn't he? In Matthew chapter 4, when Jesus is out in the wilderness, there he is again. And notice the same odd sounds coming out of his mouth. If you are the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. You can almost hear the embedded sharps and flats in that. His skepticism, his cynicism, his emboldened pride to speak to the Son of God like that, and his move to try to make even Jesus Christ question God's word. It's almost laughable, right? Did he think he was going to trick Jesus the same way that he tricked Eve? But Jesus' answers are perfectly in tune. Obedient to God's word no matter what. No matter how hungry he is after 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness. No matter what he's suffering, he hears God's word and he says it to Satan. It's a good word for us to hear too. Do not forsake the gathering of those of like faith. It's a good word. Think about this today, because every day we hear all sorts of odd and off-putting notes in our lives. They're being strummed along as we go throughout the day. People are saying things. Here's a good example of this about the fifth commandment. Do you know, that one is that thou shalt not murder. And here's the devil spews out this off-pitch sound again, and he says something like this. Well, what if they haven't been born yet? This is off tune. Is it still murder? There's so many more of these. Here's another one. The book of Genesis says male and female, he created them. And the devil's lies, well, what if they don't really feel like a male or a female? Jesus says to us, give to anyone who asks of you and do not withhold. And we say, that doesn't feel fair. They didn't earn it. Why should they have what's mine? We're learning and we're listening and we're seeing what's on tune and what's out of tune. Just listen to the sounds. You can hear the difference in these sounds. There's another one. I'm poking sensitive things here today. Why can't women be pastors in church? That's out of tune. It's answered plainly in the scripture. Paul says, he writes and says, Adam was first formed and then Eve. That's God's order. It's not a woman being less than a man. Not even close. No. That's Satan's sound. Genesis talking about both man and women. Listen to this. In his image, he created them, both male and female. He created them. There's no inequality. Both have equal value. Of course. But God has an order and a plan. It's different than the world's plan, but it's perfectly in tune. Yet Satan's voice shouts out loudly, doesn't it? And it hurts to hear this stuff in our culture today. And it's hard to listen and pick out which note is in tune and which note is off. So we have to stay in the Word all the time, like a musician with their instrument. There's so many of these. These kind of statements. You know, when someone refuses to forgive someone who asks for their forgiveness, doesn't love their enemy, as Jesus says, as themselves, but feels justified in hating them and goes around spewing out the justification all the time, it's all just out of tune. But we can hear it. What is God's word? And what is questioning God's word? It's true. There's actually a fundamental difference between God's word and our understanding of God's word. Those are two different things. Pretty incredible as we hear the devil speaking in the scripture, right? Because it gives us this beautiful learning experience and this comparison. Adam and Eve were good in the very beginning. It wasn't until evil popped its ugly head in through this song of Satan to Eve that day that they even had the capacity to choose between good and evil. And that's kind of what we want to go back to, right? In heaven? We say we want to go to heaven. I want to go to heaven. You want to go to heaven. Isn't it in heaven that there's no evil option? Isn't that kind of what we're saying? I think it is. Evil goes away as an option. Sin goes away as an option. And all of a sudden, there we are. And there's no option to sin anymore. And it's wonderful and it's beautiful. And that's where Adam and Eve were at in the garden. We got to be careful. This is another one of Satan's lies when he talks about free will being the ability to choose between good and evil. No, it's not. That ability came from the tree that they weren't supposed to eat of in the first place. Were Adam and Eve made free? Absolutely. Free to make choices between good and good. Everything was good. He looked and saw that it was good, and then they messed it up. You can hear the devil's voice saying, trying to answer the questions of the world's wisdom, saying, well, we have free will, don't we? And they throw it at them. It doesn't work in the scripture. It's out of tune. Truly being free, friends, is not about the burden of trying to make ourselves right with God through our works and decisions. Truly being free is what the scriptures tell us about living under God and in His kingdom and Him telling us what's good and what's evil. And He takes that burden upon Himself. Amen. He does. You know, there's always this question too. Those who are asking, how could bread and wine be truly Jesus' body and blood? That's out of tune. You know what's in tune? This is my body given for you, Jesus says. This is the blood of the new covenant shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Those are in tune. Or people who say, what about baptism? Can baptism really save? This is the beautiful melody. What Peter tells us, baptism now saves you. This is the in tune thing. To take a human life breaks the first command, or the fifth commandment. God made them male and female. Love your enemies and be good to those who despitefully use you, and do to others as you would have them do to you, so on and so forth. We've got to think about what we're hearing, friends. Even the words that we're thinking and saying to ourselves. Because Satan spews his lies still to this day, saying things like, you're guilty, you're not good enough, there's no way God could forgive you for that. But that's all out of tune. Because Jesus says, thus saith the Lord God, all our sins are forgiven, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We are His children. We do have value, each one of us, man and woman, child, grandparent, brother, sister, cousin, uncle, and aunt. We all have it. And it's His forgiveness that cleanses us from all unrighteousness, that makes us His child. Jesus did not die to give people the choice to select Him off the menu of life. He died to save us, and He did. By faith, through His grace. There's a big difference between those two things. So we've got to always be hearing God's word and get truly close with our Bibles so that when the music of this life is played, we can discern it to see if it's in tune before we trust it. For the word of God will never, ever, not even once, lead us astray or play an off note. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We now come to the time in our service for our prayer of the church. Our response for our prayers this morning is, hear our prayer. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. O Lord, in the midst of this life, we are beset by many temptations. Fix our eyes on our Lord Jesus, who bore temptation for us and resisted to the point of death, to bring us through the evils of this fallen world to dwell with you forever. Lord, in your mercy, Almighty God, you take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but desire that they turn from evil and live. Give pastors courage to warn people of sin and death, and give all Christians strength to defend that message together. Turn sinners to life by the proclamation of Christ, who delivers us from all unrighteousness. Lord, in your mercy, Almighty God, preserve all catechumens and their teachers, all children and their parents, and every Christian home from the assaults of this lying serpent, the devil. As your Son overcame Satan in the desert by the word of God, so also give us the victory through Christ and his word. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
O Lord, you have established earthly authorities to punish evil and praise those who do good. Grant our rulers humble hearts to resist the allure of power and to worship you alone. Lord, in your mercy. Merciful Father, though we deserve nothing of your kindness, you have shown yourself to be the strength of the weak, the healer of the sick, and the hope of those who mourn. Hear us on behalf of those who are troubled in mind and body, the dying, and those who grieve. We especially name before you this morning Greg and Kim Hill, Lindsay McGlone and son Carter Lee, Raylynn Jardin, Lucy Walsh and family, Jim Holman, Wendy Vest, Teresa O'Hare, Helen Almdale, Lauren O'Howe, Jeff Autopolic, Rob and Ingrid Miller, Rupert Gallegos, Ella Gonzalez, Debbie Ford, Betty Gray, Sandy Santisteven, Sunny Rumler, and all those that we name silently on our hearts at this time. Sustain them through their afflictions and pain, O Lord, and heal them according to your good and gracious will, and deliver them at last to everlasting life in Christ. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, you cover the shame of our first parents with animal skin and thereby foreshadow the perfect sacrifice of your Son's blood by which we are cleansed and clothed ourselves. Give us the garments of repentance and faith that we may receive your Son's body and blood for the forgiveness of our sins. Lord, in your mercy. Merciful Father, though you gave us stewardship of your good creation, we love the gifts often more than we love the giver. Save us from trusting in our possessions, from breaking your first commandment. Lord, help us to have no other gods before you, only you in the person of your Son, Jesus Christ. And teach us to use what you've provided to help those in need and relieve the poor, unemployed, and oppressed. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, Heavenly Father, you have given us a refuge from the world in the body of Christ. Protect us from all evils of body and soul, that we would find rest in this life and eternal rest in your heavenly kingdom. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen. We now come to the time in our service where our offerings are collected and presented. For our offering this morning, we'll sing hymn 746, Through Jesus' Blood and Merit. Let's sing together.
Thank you for joining our service today at Trinity Lutheran Church in Alamosa, Colorado. We hope this worship service has been a blessing to you. If you would like to support our ministry, please visit our website by searching Trinity Lutheran Church Alamosa. On our website, click the link for Apple or Android devices to upload our app to your phone or tablet. Our app has many resources to help you. Thank you, and may the Lord bless you this week.
KSPK, Walsenburg, Alamosa, and Trinidad, Southern Colorado's best country.